Take 13. This is Gary Oldman as Dr. Tarr.
This is Gary Oldman as Professor Feather.
This is Gary Oldman as Gary Oldman, Night Have Life.
This is Gary Oldman as Dr. My Spider Senses Tingling Head. And you are experiencing... Oh, fellow inmates, oh, today it's time to sit yourself on the couch, get yourself a nice bowl of cereal, Saturday morning, and watch...
Whisper Quake.
That's right. I was a Quisp guy. That's right. All the sugar and none of the nutrients. Let's get in, sit back and enjoy some... superhero cartoons. That's right. They're not just for Saturdays anymore. Just going to talk about the superhero cartoons that we've watched, that we remember. I got a whole bunch listed, but I'll just talk about the first one I remember, and we'll just go from there. The very first superhero cartoon I remember as a kid was Spider-Man, the 1967 series. I still love that cartoon, although watching it now, it's like, whoa, it is so slow. You know, they just use the same like 12 slides.
Still has a snazzy opening, though.
The song is fantastic, and I still love the Rhino, you know, more gold, you know.
Did you ever hear the Ramones doing their remake of that?
Yeah. Yes, it's a good cover.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so and I just love the villains. I mean, Spider-Man was kind of was my favorite superhero, probably favorite comic book to read growing up, and that was the early between the cartoon Spider-Man and then the live action Batman were my probably earliest memories of like superheroes on TV, you know. But anyway, so yeah, Spider-Man. Dr. Tarr, did you watch Spider-Man?
What you're talking about when you first remember superheroes on TV, I remember them showing reruns of in the mornings of Superman, the old Superman show.
The Max Fleischer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, from the 40s.
No,
yes.
Well, no, that the and the series. The actual
Steve Reeves.
Black and white. Steve Reeves ones.
Yeah.
I remember those. Too,
George Sunday. Reeves. Steve Reeves.
Right.
Yeah, George. Michael, what? Anyway, yeah, that and Flash Gordon, all this stuff. Yeah, all this stuff seemed. I remember being around the same time. A lot of it was. Yeah. Space Angel. Remember Space Angel?
Yeah.
And there was a.
I saw it recently, but not as.
Oh, it's yeah.
It's bad. It's almost like just. Here's a stat.
I thought it cool. I liked the drawings.
Clutch Cargo.
And they were short.
Yeah. Yes.
It was a Clutch Cargo thing. And right. Then there was another one. They weren't very action-oriented, granted, but there was a submarine one, too, that was... I can't think of the name of it.
What does those have to do with Superman?
Nothing. They were just cartoons on the Saturday morning that I remember.
Okay.
So let's get back to that.
Let's get back. So there's my earliest memories, superhero, my first cartoon memories. How about you, Midnight Gadfly?
I don't know if this counts as a superhero, but I think it kind of does. And that would be like Speed Racer. I think that was one of the earliest, the earliest ones where, you know, they kind of had their gadgets and stuff. So they'd be more like a Batman or or an Iron Man or something like that, where they had these crazy gadgets and stuff. And that was like at that time, you never really acknowledged that it was that and like Kimba or whatever it was, that they were anime, you know, that's like really early anime that you really think about.
Marine Boy too, at the time that was out there. I remember seeing that
was Marine Boy and Astro Boy.
Yes,
I remember Astro Boy.
Yeah.
I don't remember
when
seeing
did Gigantor
so
come out.
Gigantor, I think 60s? Was like 64.
Yeah. Okay.
Somewhere in that area, 67 maybe. Yeah. Like Astro Boy was right around that time, early 60s.
Yeah.
60s. Yeah. King Kong when that came out.
Yeah, there was a 68,
67, something like that.
Yeah, those are all the anime. And then also in the 60s we had some really on the opposite end of something gorgeous. You know, Filmation came out with like the Fantastic Four and the Marvel superheroes comic books, which were almost like motion comics. They were very static images and had very minimal movement. It wasn't like fully articulated. It was just very much like, here's a picture of Captain America talking and then he moves his shield, you know. they weren't great. But then the Justice League, the New Adventures of Superman, rather, came out. And that's the one, also another one I remember as a kid, because the sign on, I remember the song. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, Superman. And he's like flying and he's like punching through these like big giant like rocks in space, you know, in the sky. I'm like, and what I remember is like, as he was doing the voice for Clark Kent, it was one thing, but then he became Superman and his voice dropped. I'm like, wow. I was like convinced, you know. Yeah, those are just really, really primal memories for me.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff in the 60s from Hanna-Barbera as well. A lot of stuff that was... I think like Thunder the Barbarian was from late 60s. We had Space...
No, that Boat. Was 80, I believe.
No,
Thunder
no.
Barbarian.
Thundar. Thundar, but like Space Ghost and...
Space Ghost and all those... I have the...
Percoloids and...
Yeah, I have all the original drawings from Alex Toth, and they're all like from the 60s.
Nice.
There was like a Fantastic Four that they did, that Hanna-Barbera did, as well as, you know, after Filmation. And then there's all of those. I think, you know, a bunch of those were from there, and then they repackaged them later. You know, they would just reshow them in the 70s.
Oh,
and the 80s. Mm-hmm. Because the original Thundar was not Alex Toth. It was actually designed by Jack
Kirby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny because a lot of what Toth did for Fantastic Four was Kirby-esque. You know what I mean? It was very much a Kirby design.
Yes.
So if you look at that right there, that's Alex Toth.
Yeah.
I love the working drawings. Those are so
cool. Very Kirby.
Very nice.
So, yeah. I remember those. And remember, what was it? The Mighty Heroes?
Yeah.
By Terry Toons? That was a Ralph Bakshi.
So weird.
It was so weird. It was Ralph Bakshi. I mean, you're like, of course it was Ralph Bakshi, you know.
And I really like, I don't know if you guys remember how they look, but just the loose, the way they're drawn, the caricatures themselves, the way it was a very loose look to it. It was not Kirby, or it wasn't, it was just the real loose, like, drawing that was kind of cool.
They're almost for adults, too, because it's, the characters are Strong Man, Rope Man, Tornado Man, Cuckoo Man, and Diaper Man. So, you know, I remember when seeing these, I'm like, these are crazy. But I liked them because of the drawings. You know, the drawings were very wacky and very cool. They were just...
Because I think at that time, I was like in Mad Magazine and stuff, had a lot of drawings like that, you know, I think I was associating that with that drawing style too. I think that's what drew me to watch that thing anyway at the time.
Yeah, and you had mentioned Hanna-Barbera. They also, the ones I remember from the 60s were Adamant, and Underdog.
Underdog, yeah.
Yeah, you had mentioned Space Ghost. I liked watching that, but Adamant and Underdog, those were definitely Saturday morning, you know, and they. I liked it. Always thought that was cool that there was a super energy pill that Underdog took. And I was like, wow, I always wondered what is in this pill and how do you get a ring that you can put a pill in, you know, like Flash with his little costume.
Never mind the dog talks, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I was fine with that. I mean, Tennessee Tuxedo, I got a talking walrus and a penguin. Why not? You know,
yeah. Exactly. Oh, he still talk like.
Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah,
did the voice the guy Get Smart?
Yeah, I can see him. Right, let's get Mr. Whoopi. Yes. Now going back earlier in history, we have the 1940s. We have these Max Fleischer Superman cartoons. Have you guys seen these?
What?
Yes.
No, I don't think
Max
so.
Max Fleischer.
Oh, yes.
What? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all know and love these. They are just.
But those were movies. Gorgeous. Those were not. But
no, the 6 minute.
Yeah, they would release them to the TV.
13 minute cartoons. Like
they were 13 minute. They were cartoons.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
And but they were just beautiful. Oh, they're fucking gorgeous.
Sumptuous.
Well, that was in, like, you talk about that when I was a kid. What I liked to watch was all the Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, that was big when I was a kid. And that brings me to my only comment, really, in this whole thing. I mean, not really my only comment, but my major one. We'll go back to the granddaddy of superhero comic cartoons. That's Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So I grew up watching Tunes? Mighty Mouse.
Okay.
And the other one that I would consider about the same time period, which would be kind of, I guess, arguable, but not by a lot of people, because most of the people that know who I'm talking about are dead, is Captain Kangaroo had a cartoon called Tom Terrific.
Yep.
I don't remember Tom Terrific, the cartoon. Tom I remember Captain Kangaroo.
He was drawn like a chalk, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a chalk animated.
Yeah. And the only line I remember from the intro is, it's Tom Terrific. And what's else? Something is Wonder Dog. It's crazy.
And he lifts his hat. Doesn't he lift his hat?
His hat is a upside down oil
funnel. Yeah, funnel. Oil funnel.
A funnel. Yeah.
And he like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever he does. But yeah.
I love them. I love them. But I liked Mighty Mouse. But that was really, when I was growing up, that was really the only thing that was, you know, as a superhero cartoon.
Yeah, but Mighty Mouse was drawn in that 40, that very, like Superman, it was drawn like that. And not Saturday morning cartoons that you think of, you know, is that sumptuous. Yeah, those were cool. What wasn't that the like 50s, early 50s?
In the 50s, or? Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they were produced and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so said, they were big. It was, you know, Mighty Mouse was big.
Did you see the Poe stuff when that was first released? I never. Wasn't that like in 57 or something like that? There was like a API. Is that who does it? The animation.
Of what?
Anyway, had James Mason narrating, and they were doing. How was it? Not the Pit and the Pendulum, but the. The Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay, painting. So they were doing a reenactment.
Yeah, and it was like a special that they would have, not okay, a reenactment, gotcha. But it was a, car, a it was animated AIP, right. And it oh, was
animated. So it would,
yeah, and it had this very unique style in the 50s. It was.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah.
That was on TV, or was that for in the?
It was televised. Yeah.
Oh, televised.
It was. It was by the company that made like Mr. Magoo. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
UPA.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
But James Mason narrated the story as Edgar Allan Poe, and it was the Telltale Heart.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got it over there.
High literature on television.
And it's a really stylized.
I want to make a quick correction. You were right. It is Thundar was 1980s. I was confused because they were based off of things that he did with OMAC and Commandy. And he did those, but then Alex Toth also did a bunch of the designs for that as well.
Yeah.
So it was 1980.
It's a great series. It just got put out, back out again. I think a Tubi has it.
Yeah, Tubi has it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've recently acquired an upgraded remastered version
of the Herculoids
of Thundar the Barbarian.
Yeah. Oh.
And then I think Thundar. I also have Herculoids as well.
Sorry, my bad.
It's amazing what you can find out there.
I don't know where.
Well, into the 1970s. Going back to some cartoons, some of the ones that stand out to me, they have The New Adventures of Batman and Robin. This is where that Casey Kasem does Robin's voice. It was a revamped Batmobile. And they were, I think, like longer cartoons, like hour long. So you had time to develop a story. 40 minutes versus 20. And then we also had The Super Friends, which started. We have a much more kid-friendly version of the DC superheroes pantheon. And then we have the Marvel side. The Thing came out in the 70s. There was a short-lived Marvel with Ben Grimm, which I don't recall seeing in the 70s. I remember seeing, like, you know, Spider-Man. There's a couple other Spider-Mans, like in His New Friends or something. But I don't remember
seeing his old friends didn't like him anymore,
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in the 70s, they also had the Fantastic Four that Hanna-Barbera did. And instead of having the Human Torch, which would be too hard for them to animate and draw, they replaced him with Herbie, the robot.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Terrible.
They were yes. Terrible. And I thought that was also maybe inspired by Star Wars because of the droids.
Everything was.
But I agree. Star it probably Wars was the animation. Yeah. If it was too much to draw flame. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I know that
Thundar was Ookla the Muck was supposed to be a Wookiee. Like, he was like a because the Wookiee was so popular that's why they designed that particular character.
Imitation breeds.
Yeah. But all he does is go,
yeah. Yeah. I think it's all flattery.
I think late 70s, early 80s, we had a lot of Filmation stuff coming in. They were doing a lot of classics. They were doing like Tarzan. And then they were doing Flash Gordon. I really like the Flash Gordon and the Tarzan.
Yes. So. Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of these. I didn't watch a lot of these.
There's a Flash Gordon cartoon on Tubi as well. And they have a couple other ones. They have a Defenders of the Earth. They got the Superman ones. Yeah. Sorry.
But weren't they like, they were filmed like the Star Trek and all that stuff when that came out at the time, right?
Right.
And I didn't like that. It was just so, it was so limited that it was just, I don't know how to describe it. I thought I did not. You're looking at
a static picture that part of it sometimes moves. You know,
and even the voice acting, even though they had like the original voice, nothing. Yeah, I know. It was like nothing. I don't know.
It was a quick money grab. They're doing it as cheaply as possible.
I thought Planet of the Apes was the same way.
The cartoon?
I thought it was just.
Well, they repeated a lot of sequences. So, like with the Tarzan one, I remember there was always this him jumping into the tree, jumping out of the tree, and it would be exactly the same thing every episode.
The limited animation.
Two or three times an episode.
Yeah, watch the 67 Spider-Man series. You'll see him swinging through the same like five buildings 50 times. And then they pad the episode. There's like 5 minutes of swinging in a 20-minute episode. A quarter of it is him like swinging. I'm like, I get it. I know he's traveling. We're like, nope. Let's just do this for 5 minutes. Hell, I don't have to animate this.
We have the footage already.
Right, exactly.
They do that with comic books too. Like, there's certain artists that are like fairly slow at drawing are really good. So the writer will create these pages where they can copy the panel, you know what I mean? And maybe modify it a little bit so that they can get through.
Like he's traveling pages.
Yeah, or it's just them like sitting there talking, you know, and you just always get to just change the eyes or change the mouth a little bit and they just copy it and you can tell they're copying and pasting. And sometimes they're exactly the same, you know what I mean? It's just the two people talking. And so it's the writer helping out the artist who is, you know, maybe not so fast that they can get done, you know, on a monthly basis. But yeah, that's interesting. The Filmation story, I have a book on that, and it's really cool. Like the guy that ran the whole studio and how he did all that stuff, because they did He-Man, She-Ra. They were really
they did a ton of stuff. Yes,
all just really good.
I know. They cranked that. Yeah. Does anybody remember? I think this was probably March 60s Banana Splits time.
Mm-hmm.
But does anybody remember that Huckleberry Finn?
Huckleberry Finn, the live action?
Where they had the three kids and they were like and then they had the animated stuff where they interacted with, and then they had like all these fantasy, but it was Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and Sawyer, Becky. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And what's his name? Who's the guy that played Lurch? I'm sorry.
Doug Cassidy.
Yeah. He did the voice all the time for, it was supposed to be Injun Joe, but all the villains look like Injun Joe through the series, and he did the voice. And I kind of like that. I looked for that show for a long time.
I loved the Banana Splits when it was in repeat when I was a little kid in the early 70s. Yeah. And they also had, what was it, Gulliver's Travels? It was another one of the shorts.
Oh, Danger Island?
Danger Island, yeah.
I might know someone who has maybe acquired the entire Banana Split series, if anyone might be interested. Just I might can put a word in.
Well, have you seen the Banana Split, the movie, the horror movie that they've done?
I did. Yeah, the Banana Split one.
Isn't it like, what's that, Weekend at Freddy's or something like that?
It's traumatic.
It really is traumatic.
Yeah. It's like,
I want to see it.
I've not seen Pooh, Blood, and Honey. It's like, man, there are just some things like,
the new one is Betty Boop.
Right.
It's just come into public domain. And so they've got a couple movies coming out that's going to be.
Has anybody seen Popeye the Slayer?
Well, Mickey Mouse was last year.
Nope, I saw.
Mickey Mouse, their first was last year. Then this year is the next thing that they did the next year. So it progresses.
Yeah, that Steamboat Willie Mouse is available. The Bambi, Bambi, the Reckoning. It's really good. I'm serious. We got to. Yeah, I want to talk about it.
Bambi the Reckoning.
I saw it.
Does Bambi kill Godzilla? That's what I want.
That's
the reckoning I'm looking for.
That would be Bambi's revenge. Yeah,
that would be funny.
That is, by the way, one of the absolute greatest little animations ever made.
Yeah,
the Bambi Godzilla.
The most satisfying one would be is. For me, then, if it was focusing on, you see the close-up, and it was the Geno, the 98 Godzilla, the iguana, just sitting there, and then Bambi steps on him. That would be awesome.
That would be
good. No, they do. They catch in one of those pictures where, you know, like you start.
Then you like zoom out,
and
you
they
see
start Bambi's, stomping on it.
Bambi's foot comes down on him. That would be funny.
Yeah, the other good parody that I liked was Hardware Wars. Do you remember that? That was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too.
You know, a lot of the stuff we were talking about right just now, I saw at Midnight Movies that had like a collection of those, you know, like animations and the Hardware Wars. This wasn't on TV the first time I saw some of that stuff. That was more like, you know, cult movie type things going on.
Mm-hmm. So and you can find a lot of these things on archive.org, which is great. People have archived some of these, you know, these things and some of these are on Tubi and stuff, you know. Moving into the 1980s, some of the ones that stand out to me is the Defenders of the Earth. So now we have Flash Gordon and Mandrake the Magician and the Phantom all teaming up, because that was the comic books that I remember as a kid. We also had another Friends cartoon in the 80s, and then Battle of the Planets, which was the Americanized version of Gatchaman.
That was actually 70s. It was late 70s.
Is that when it came out, Battle of the Planets?
I remember watching it when we were still in Otaki.
Okay.
So that was like 76, 77, somewhere around there.
Really?
That might be when it was just televised. 78. How they recycle stuff.
Yeah,
when they
I used saw to the recycle 80s first. Shows too. Yeah, I didn't look back because I knew Gotcha Man came out in the 70s.
Right.
But I didn't think the Americanized version came out till later. Kind of like when, like Star Blazers. Late 70s.
Yeah, those are all cartoons and cells are repurposed from a movie that we ended up getting to watch at a convention, that the original movie that was based on. And it was violent and it was great, you know.
Yeah.
And then they made it this silly cartoon. And you could see that they literally just pulled the cell animations out and put them in and added a couple of things here and there. So they created a whole series, Battle of the Planets, out of one movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I liked it though. It was pretty cool.
I loved it too. It was so terrible though. I go back and
I tried watching it. I liked the style. I liked how it looked, but I couldn't. Yeah, I just couldn't get the animation. It was really. I couldn't get into it. Maybe I would feel differently if I saw the original one, but
I loved it. I mean, because it was, for me, it was like, that's why I like Speed Racer, because it didn't look like anything else that was being shown out there, you know? And I liked the characters, and I loved the Fiery Phoenix, you know? It wasn't Racer my favorite.
Speed Racer had a rhythm to it, though. It was a little, it was faster than
Speed
this.
Speed was great, yeah.
My favorite one was
Star Blazers, yeah. Space Battleship Yamato. But that's not a superhero one. But that was my favorite, because that was the first time I'd seen a cartoon or anime that had an ongoing story. There was a larger story arc, and this was episodical.
Yeah.
Whereas every other cartoon was like a one and done. Every Scooby-Doo ends at the end, you know, and it doesn't really matter what order you watch them in. There's no continuity. But this helped me develop a love for these characters, and I was about 12 when this came on, so it was just, I just wanted, oh my gosh, this is it was so groundbreaking for me, you know. But and I still love watching it, you know.
Say that, because if you look at all of television, their early television, there is no continuity. I mean, no continuity. There's no progression of the timeline. Absolutely no progression of the timeline. Everything being episodic. It was not, this happened last week. I remember, they're talking about that. That never happened, mm-hmm. ever, until probably the 70s. You know, go ahead.
The prisoners, or the prisoner, or whatever that guy was, that
60s,
got trapped, yeah. They got trapped in the village or whatever, wasn't it? That had continuity to it. So, and I think that was like one of the first ones that started, it was week to week, and you were like wanting to, because he was stuck in one place.
Right.
You know, so they would actually recall the earlier episodes.
Yeah. First. Well, yeah, so I said, well, you know, a trend, too.
The Invaders kind of did that, you know, where he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they always referred to what previously happened, you know, in the
right.
next
that,
episode.
Right. But see, that didn't happen very often. That, when did that come out? In the 60s? 70s?
67, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I said, that's when it was, you know, they started kind of doing it, but not, up until that point.
Right.
You think about it. I mean, everything that was put out, it was episodic. There was no really.
Which is kind of cool in some things, I think. You know, I think,
I didn't care. Yeah. All I wanted to see was the story. I didn't give a fuck what their backstory was.
Or how long it was.
Or how much they fucking, you know, are going to whine about it, because that's what happened. The age of whining came about, you know. I'm watching Homicide right now. This is the epitome of the age of TV whining. Just whine. Everybody fucking whines in that series. I mean, it's ungodly amounts of whining. There's my diatribe for the day.
To your point, I think with animated series and the superhero series, they did that as well. There was no Super Friends where they called back to a previous episode and said, remember when Aquaman did this or anything?
Right.
It's like He-Man was that way. She-Ra, all those were exactly like that.
They're always reinventions. And it's just like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Well, by the time when the 90s come around, we have a kind of a resurgence or a renaissance of animation with Batman the Animated Series, which is stylish and gothic and really beautiful.
You see that?
It was on Warner Brothers. I don't know where you can see it now.
You can watch them on Hulu.
On Hulu. Okay, so that brings up a point to go with what you're saying, coincides what you're saying, is look at technology and what you're talking about now that people have access to. Such as this and other things you're going to start mentioning more and more, where more and more people have that access to than ever before. That's a shift right there with like the Batman, this animated series. More people have probably seen that than know anything about the fucking comic book, you know?
Could be.
That's the nature of humanity. I mean, you know, and the way people, consume. But yeah, I just wanted to interject that since I haven't been able to say too much else.
I would say this about that series as well. That's Bruce Timm is the artist that designed all that and put all that stuff together.
Which is
but it was based on the guy who did the production design for the original Batman with Tim Burton's Batman, the first one.
Yeah.
Whatever. I can't remember his name. Anton. Shit, I can't remember. It'll come to me. So he based a lot of that on that. And then they used the score.
The style.
It was Danny Elfman for the score and the music, did all that kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then what happened was that style became okay to be in a comic book. So now there are all kinds of comic book artists that draw in that style that nobody would have allowed before that, because it was, you're like, too cartoony.
Yeah.
You know, and now there's there are huge artists that are very popular.
I've noticed that trend. And over, and especially over the years.
Someone has to be able to say
not
it's
okay. So realistic. Yeah. It just,
yeah.
But that's all right. No. That's more expressionistic. Yes.
Well, yeah, and there's been a couple other Batman series that have been like that since then. But this first one, I think, is the best. And then the Superman, the animated series, came out a few years later, and I completely ruined it. Because that animation style is like just like the opposite of Gotham. It's not dark and moody and gothic and emotive. This is all bright and super, super happy and like clean. And then... they couldn't have the disparity, so then they elevated the Batman animated series to look like the Superman. I'm like, oh, fuck. And you just ruined that Superman. Thank you. but it's a fun series. But then DC started doing movies in the 90s, mostly Batman and Superman at this time, whereas Marvel hit the TV circuit. So they had whole series, and I have them all. I remember watching them, and on VHS I would record them and then edit the commercials out. You know. I had the Silver Surfer and Iron Man. There was a Fantastic Four series, a Spider-Man series, and an X-Men
Silver
series.
Surfer, what year?
These are all in the 90s. They all came out in the 90s, like early, like mid-90s. Like
and these are live action?
No, these are all cartoons.
Cartoons. Animated. Animated. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
These are all animated series.
Oh, that's different. It's like, really?
No. There was a bad live action Spider-Man in the 70s. That was pretty bad.
Oh, man.
But these are all animated series. Yeah, so the 90s, there was like a boom, and I would say that the DC look was much better than the Marvel look. Marvel, they were just telling the story, but the animation coming out of DC was much better. But we will see as we go forward that this is a telling and a continued path, because generally Marvel's stuff is not animated very well.
Can I jump back to the 80s real quick, just with a couple of the things that were big for me?
Where we should be?
Well, the Thundercats. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The Thundercats came out.
Thundercats. Really
It was terrible, but it was one of those where you're like, the drawings were great. The characters were very inventive.
Yep.
And
I had the hots for
Chitara. And there was a slew of those, wasn't there? What was that studio?
Pete Barbeauty Limited Studio.
Yes, it was. And Pete Barbeauty put out a lot of that shit.
It did.
Mummer's a great villain.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I love Thundercats. That was pretty awesome. Because I didn't really like He-Man, so this was cool. The Thundercats was cool.
Thundercats was a combination of Pacific Animation Corporation, which was a Japanese studio, and
Pacific. And, well, because there's several of them.
Wait a minute, and Rankin and Bass. There was a
nice.
The two of those, yeah.
Oh man, a Thundercats Christmas! Man, they so missed out on an opportunity for that. That'd have been awesome.
Yeah, well, they had a bunch of stuff.
But there was wasn't there a couple other cartoons kind of created by these guys?
Yeah, Silverhawks. I mean, back then we also, you had She-Ra and He-Man, which were big. Yeah. And I like those. You know what? I actually like She-Ra better than I like He-Man.
Of course. Jump again. I want that skirt to fly up.
I raise my sword to my queen.
I honestly think they went from like the 8 to 10 year olds to the 12 to 15 year olds. You know what I mean? The stories and stuff like that. But you had the Transformers were huge back then. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were huge back then.
Right.
You know what I mean?
GoBots. They may remember the GoBots.
Robots in disguise.
That in between.
Yeah. The Silverhawks, I never liked those. but they have had a huge resurgence. There's all these kids that grew up on that are now like doing these fan comics. I keep getting approached by these people. They're like, will you color this comic? And I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, I'm not fucking coloring Silver Ox. I'm like, I hated it then, I hate it now.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Silver Hawks watcher. Yeah,
but that's it. I just wanted to mention those other ones that were in the 80s that I, you know,
oh, that's great.
Superhero.
And oh, we didn't talk about Johnny Quest.
Oh, fuck him.
He wouldn't be a superhero.
It's not a superhero. That's why I didn't also bring up like the robots.
How could you say that?
He's racist.
He's not a superhero.
He's not a superhero. Well, he's a heroic child.
He's heroic. Yeah, he's a hero, but he's not a superhero.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You tell me, look at his life. You're telling me that's not pretty super? What the fuck?
I got two words for you on this Johnny Quest. Venture Brothers.
Yes.
which is good.
That's so, kind of superhero cartoons.
Yeah, oh yeah,
that's much later.
Venture Brothers.
So you're saying 90s with the DC stuff, but they continued that on into the 2000s, where their TV stuff was kicking the shit out of anything that Marvel was doing in terms of animated, or even in, I guess it was in the 90s too, but. I didn't watch a lot in the 90s. I think the only thing I really paid attention to was Batman, the animated series.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, Batman was really nice. And then there was later on in the 90s, like I think 97, 98 is when the Marvel did their superhero ones. Because I was like, I was, you know, living on my own and then just watching them, that, you know, that was pretty cool. That was my life. But in the 2000s, that's a pretty good
life.
Does
anybody remember Freakazoid? I think I saw that with my kids, and I discovered that. And it was just the Spielberg. That was, what is that, late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, it's like Warner Brothers. It's one of that Warner Brothers.
But anyway, it was great. Anyway, I like that one. It was. There's a lot of hidden references for older people in the show, which made it really fun.
Very dynamic drawings too, like just the crazy
right, and the humor. I like the humor throughout the little. It was kind of short lived, but the whole series was kind of fun.
In the 2000s, DC's got more animated movies, and then the series that I remember watching was Batman: The Brave and the Bold, because it had Dietrich Hader as Batman, and it was kind of a comic. They were leaning into the camp side of Batman, so it was kind of like it wasn't completely like the anime or the live action from the 60s, but it was definitely tongue in cheek, and they knew it, and they were kind of having a good time with it. And then what the 2010s is when I see DC just explode in content. Their movies, their animated movies, are spectacular, and they have there's a Justice League, Superman, Batman, the Dark Knight Returns, All-Star Superman. There's a Justice League trilogy that is superb. It's violent. It's dark. It's very contemporary. You know, all the stories. You know, they just did a big giant, I think, four part Crisis on Infinite Earths. You know, they're doing super quality stuff and doing like the long Halloween, you know, animated versions of comic book stories, actual stories. So they're really, really doing a lot of great output.
Well, I think DC has the animated down. I mean, I think their stuff has been way more consistent than what Marvel has.
Yeah.
Marvel has poured their stuff into the movies later on. What I liked in the early 2000s was Justice League. The Justice League, the original one, which was really good. I mean, again, it was kind of the same animation style as Superman. It was brighter and stuff like that, but it had Batman.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a lot of great, character moments in that were really good, where they're like they're flying in this jet or whatever, and they're like going, the sensor says there's something there, and I'm like, they're like, I don't see anything, there's nothing there, and the other person goes, Batman designed this sensor, something is there. You know, they're like they're just saying this stuff. Then they evolved that like two or three years later into Justice League Unlimited, which every episode was based on an actual comic story by an actual writer. So you got Alan Moore stories, you got Warren Ellis stories, you got Grant Morrison stories. Yeah, just tons of, and those are amazingly well done. So
thank you, Midnight Gaff. I could not remember. I just forgot his name. Warren Ellis. I was trying to remember Warren Ellis. Could not remember his name. Yeah, thank you. I love Warren Ellis. So
do I. Yeah, it's great. But yeah, his those were great. You know, I remember watching those. I mean, just like again, they had really good humor. It's like the one time when the Flash and Lex Luthor switch bodies. And so the Flash is trapped in Lex Luthor, and everybody's going, Lex Luthor, this. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he goes into the bathroom and goes to the bathroom. And then he's walking out, and the guy goes, you're not going to wash your hands? And he's Lex Luthor now. And he goes, no, because I'm evil.
That's good.
Oh. There must be a lot of evil people in this world.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I'd forgotten about the Justice League cartoon, but it was exceptionally done. Really, I loved it. Both iterations of it. The one Marvel, and they also had a Green Lantern animated series in the 2010s that was really quite good. And then Marvel had the ones that I remember watching were the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which had a very kind of a cartoony style, which I loved. I thought they did a really great job with who was it? Wasp. She was just drawn so cute, you know, and they were definitely fun, kind of silly. And then they did Avengers Assemble, and that was a lot more serious after the movie came out. And it wasn't nearly as fun for me, because like I want to see cartoons. I want to see them kind of be silly and to some degree.
Well,
but
here's what anybody who watches Avengers Earth's Mightiest Hero,
she was pretty cute.
You have to make it past the intro song.
Yes.
Which is absolutely horrific. It's just like, oh my, every time I hear it, I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. It is awful.
Yeah, but once you did, you're like, oh, okay, this is fun. And then, yes. Yeah, it was a fun series. So I agree.
Yeah, the series was good. It's just that, oh man, that opening was terrible.
Mm-hmm. And then most recently, I'm not watching anything. I don't know what's out, but I knew that DC's got some more of the movies that they've been doing in the 2020s. We got Batman Death in the Family, Superman Red Sun, and then Crisis on Infinite Earths came out, the four-part series. So they are really doing some amazing movies. The animation's really gorgeous. The stories are faithful to the source material for the most part, you know.
Did you watch Creature Commandos?
No, but it's on my list.
I saw a couple of them, but I liked it, and I don't know a whole lot about them, but it was James Gunn, and it was just that humor in the animation, and it was fun. And they're quick.
It looked like it was a lot of fun.
I didn't realize about the Frankenstein character. That was really made me laugh, but
they did a lot of really good adaptations in the movies over that era, between like 2010 and 2020, and even into the 2020s. They adapted Darwin Cook's The New Frontier, which was, I don't know if you've never read that. It's awesome. I mean, it's got this kind of retro art style. It's beautifully colored, and the story is just amazing. It's about the an alternate origin of all those superheroes coming together as the Justice League. It's amazing. The other one was they did Dark Knight Returns. It's a two-part movie. Mm-hmm. They did a really good job with that.
They did. The animation looks like the comic book.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, the style.
I saw it somewhere. Where's it available at right now?
I don't know. I don't.
Hang on.
Yeah. But the style looks just like you open a page and it has that really great look.
I saw that and I thought that looked looked like something I'd want to watch.
Yes.
Yeah, that was done in 2013. And you can watch it on Yeah, you have to pay for it everywhere. It's I have copies of it, so I can get you copies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. It's a, yeah, it's amazing.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I'd really like to see it.
They also did All-Star Superman. They adapted that into a movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It wasn't as good as the comic, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because they did it in one movie. They really should have done it in like a series of movies. But that was pretty good. I'm trying to think, what else did they do? Yeah, they did all kinds of, like, a lot of the Batman stuff. Is all the adaptations are good. They started here recently making the Batman movies look very anime, which for me is just not, it just isn't cutting it. You know, I don't dislike anime. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I think is really good, depending on what you watch, but it just doesn't do it for me.
What was that show that was, it was kind of like Powerpuff Girls, but the Teen Titans.
Oh yeah, I never watched it.
The way originally that was drawn, and then later how it evolved into
it did.
That was kind of weird, but yet I kind of liked the show though too. It was kind of funny.
I noticed that
it was so weird.
I noticed that in passing, I'd watch episodes of it, you know, like here and there,
right?
And then with the change, I thought that was interesting. How the change came about. I thought.
That's another one. The Powerpuff Girls. I mean, you know, we had that.
There's
that's Super Rose versus.
Oh
yes,
man,
Powerpuff Girls. I totally forgot about them. Yes,
had a lot of fun watching that with the kids. That was,
Mojo Jojo.
One of the great cartoons.
That's a, our
series ever.
Who was
the right
really weird?
The City Rim. Of Townville.
Him. Yeah, him. Yeah, him.
Hello. Him. Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Oh yes, I'm so glad you remember that, Gadfly.
I'd forgotten about the Gazette.
Yes.
What was that? Fluffy Lumpkins. Get off my property!
Yeah, it was like that was like the that was their version of the Darlin family, you know.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing. Yeah, Dexter's Lab coming out of that and all that stuff. That was
those are all created by Jendy Tartakovsky. He was.
And what was that little snippet one? The roommates, the Kronk and Valhalla. The roommate one, what was that? The little short, they show the short little segments of they're like supposed to be roommates.
I don't know.
Yeah, oh shit. Damn it.
Well, Jendy Tartakovsky also did Samurai Jack. And if you watch that, and if you've read Ronin by Frank Miller, it's very much, you know, like a derivative of that, you know, because it's Samurai Jack goes to the future, sent by Haku, which is the demon. And then the demon shows up in the future, you know, it's beautifully done.
It is.
The drawings are stuff. Now, if you haven't seen, and this isn't superhero, but Jendy Tartakovsky did, he's got two seasons, and I think there's going to be a third called Primal. Absolutely no dialogue. It is him drawing Primal. And animating this. Yeah, this it's like a caveman with a dinosaur in the.
Where's that at? That sounds interesting.
It's really cool.
Is it? Yeah.
Very cool.
I have copies of that as well.
Yeah. I'd definitely like to see that.
It's his style. Yeah, and they get this. Yeah, the relationship between him and the dinosaur and how that, and it goes over this. Yeah.
It's on Hulu, Prime, but not, I don't think it's like free. It's on HBO Max.
Yeah, so it's not, if it's on HBO Max, it's probably not on Prime, for regular Prime, anyway.
Is it on
HBO Max Plus, you can get through Prime, that's one of your Prime.
Cartoon Network?
Right, that's what it is. I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, I think it's we were on the gamut of superhero cartoon memories and plus, and I'm
from sure. from Mighty Mouse to the Powerpuff Girls.
That's right,
and beyond.
Yeah, thank you.
You gotta say, you know, I don't know. You had mentioned earlier, Professor Feather, about like. People don't they see the cartoon but they don't read the comic book, or they see the movie they don't read the comic book. I do wonder though how many kids like me, I started with what I saw on TV and then that translated to me wanting to read the comic book, you know, like when I realized that there were books and I could read, Like my very first comic book was a Spider-Man.
I agree with that.
Paperback, trade paperback, the first six issues of Amazing Spider-Man. You know, and I just, you know, read that probably 1,000 times.
I remember reading comic concepts and stuff like that, and actually going looking later on, and that kind of thing. You know, or finding books about that idea, science books. That was in the, you go through the, your school library or whatever. But yeah, I remember. Yeah, I think about that. Yeah, you translating between the two. So
yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. How much crossover
was? Yeah. Well, do you mean like reverse crossover from the movies? Watching the movies prompts kids to go back and read comic books
or discover the comic books.
That too,
right?
Or discover the comic books.
Yes, reverse.
I mean, it'd be interesting to know. I think with the pricing today, I think it's pretty prohibitive, you know. Even when I had my comic book store, you know, we had no kids because the prices of the comics were so exorbitant. They were thrilled because I'd have 25 cent things, you know, and then they could buy all kinds of comics and read them, but you know, that would do nothing more than, I guess, get them hooked.
right.
But well, yeah, it'd be curious though how many people do, you know, the reverse, you know, that goes back from, you know, that kind of spurs that on. That'd be interesting.
Marvel and DC both for a while, and I would say this is the early 2000s, they would make comics from like Batman Beyond and those, and they would make them priced like a fraction of what a normal comic would be so that kids could come in and they could buy those. Those were then considered promotion for the shows and for the people watching, and even a lot of those shows were in reruns, and so they would just go back and watch them on, you know, the Cartoon Network or whatever it is. So they would do, I remember like Batman Beyond was one of them. They had Powerpuff Girl comic books. They had Dexter's Lab comic books.
But then
they had the comics that were derivatives of like Superman and the Super Friends and stuff like that, that were also, you know, so at the time when comics were $4 and $5, these were $1.50, $2 or whatever it is. So Monarch, they had like just a whole like section of those that, you know, the kids could come in and they would grab those, you know, while they're, their parents were buying the adult shit and paying off.
That's a great idea, man. That's great marketing, man.
Feather, when you had the shop, I thought it was fun. I'm just saying this. Lending that kid, like, what was it, a quarter? He was short a quarter, and he's like, it was just, anyway, you gave the kid a quarter, and you gave him this. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. I was thinking about that when you were talking about price of comics for kids. That was fun.
Yeah, we unfortunately, I mean, that was one of my biggest regrets about the store, was there was never very any really young kids coming in looking at the stuff, you know.
In the beginning, there was.
Parents would bring them in, you know, and look. Well, yeah, but then the parents would go, holy shit, you know. That's when I would say, well, look at these boxes, because, you know, the kids don't care, you know. Okay. I probably made my living off of the 25-cent boxes of comic books for, you know, but that's because that's all that, you know, they're looking at the prices going up.
Right. They're thinking about, because even toward the end, that's like when I had gotten out of getting them myself, because they were getting up to like $1.25, $1.50 a piece. I'm like, it was stopping. It wasn't worth it anymore. You know, they just weren't that good, at least not to the effect that I was wanting to have everything.
Exactly.
And No, that's good. But
I guess I bought the specialty books there more than I did anything else at your store.
Yeah.
Well, you had that. That was nice. You had, it was both. You could get the regular comic books.
And if I didn't pick up any comic books, it's usually like more undergroundish.
Yeah, right. Like, or you,
thingies.
Yeah,
use,
yes, exactly. Yeah. But so anyway,
I want to bring one last thing up. We'd mentioned Spider-Man, and I think it was 2003, there was a 3D animated Spider-Man series that was out that was amazing. I mean, not just because it was Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
And I can't remember exactly what it was called, but it was, I think, maybe one season. And the beautiful thing about it is they did no motion capture. So everything they did had this kind of comic book feel to it, because they could do anything they wanted to. You know, they, you'd have Spider-Man would, you know, shoot his thing to a light pole and slide down slowly, and he would just kind of spin with his legs, you know, like in a triangle or whatever, just holding it. He would be talking to the bad guy as he's spinning around, you know, and then And again, it was all 3D animated.
Like a trapeze artist.
Cool. I'll look for it. Oh, it was the title.
Much more adult looking.
Oh, that's cool. And I totally forgot to... Oh, go ahead, Mr.
Spider-Man, what's that called?
Spider-Man : the new all caps animated series, 2003.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Yeah, really good.
Let me see.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That sounds interesting.
The animated, when he shot his web out, the stream, was what's his face that revolutionized how that looked like? Todd McFarlane. It was Todd McFarlane style.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. That's cool. Yeah.
I have it.
Do you? Yeah.
I do. I haven't watched it. Not yet. I will.
It's awesome.
That's cool.
There you go.
Sorry. That's my last interruption.
No, that's good. That's good. Because I had also forgotten about, because I didn't watch them, because I can't do the animation. The animation style makes me sick. The Spider-Man, like Into the Spider-Verse, there are two animated movies, which I've not seen. I hear they're really good.
Oh, they're amazing.
But I can't, the animation, there's something about the animation, just it makes me queasy.
The motion.
It's like it's not being animated enough cells. It feels like it's staggered and stopped, and I'm watching it. I can see the staggered movement. Like, why the fuck? Why? But they wanted
strobing.
They wanted it to look different than like a Pixar movie, you know. And I'm like, no, I just nope.
I'll say that those are the best Spider-Man movies, hands down.
They're really good, but I can't watch it. You know,
that's sad. Too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, but have you seen like the Spider-Man movies, the new ones, the ones that came out like the last Spider-Man movie? Yeah, I can see where they're running parallel. Yeah, mm-hmm. They were kind of crossing over. The ideas are very similar in the cartoon and the live action, which I thought was kind of cool because I like that concept of it. You know, I don't want to spoil it for anyone out there who's not seen it.
What are those on?
The three Tom Holland ones are great. They're not. Yeah. You can get two of them are on Disney Plus. The first two, and the third one, I don't think is
we
on
might
anything.
Have that. I don't know.
But yeah.
The third one, No Way Home, is great because it's like a multiverse thing, and you end up. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but if you don't watch any of the other ones, watch that third one.
Okay,
yeah, it is really good. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised at how good it was. So, I'm like, I want more of that. I want more of that. So anyway, Saturday morning cartoons.
I heard they're going to make a new werewolf one too. Sorry.
Werewolf by Night?
Oh, wait, one more thing. I'm just kidding.
But wait, there's more.
So
what you been watching? and I'm spent.
Here's your sock.
I'm going to go watch some more of that Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
I have it turned inside out.
That's just charcoal to filter out the evil.
That's right.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
That's more like constipation.
Ooh. You might like toothpaste.
Ooh, you want to watch me take a dump?
This could take a couple of hours.
That's diarrhea Pullman.
This is what Haji listens to in his room by himself when the banners are asleep.
That's crazy. Of course, this is by Razorman, and it's called The Orient. That's crazy. Can't say that. And you have been listening to... That's constipation.
I blew out my O-ring.
My radio.
SaneRadio at gmail.com. And SaneRadio is on Facebook. And SaneRadio is on Skype's Blue Sky, I think. I
don't. We're smeared everywhere.
I think yeah. So. Smeared everywhere. Exactly. Tar and Feather, the biggest smear of them all.
We're smearing everything.
I got tar and feather stains on my underwear.
We call it just scenting, putting our musk on you. So
it's no mere smear.
On that note,
it's a fap smear. And heavy metal horror, talking about fap, heavy metal horror is on hiatus until February. We've got an amazing 6 months of shows already booked. We're going to have a lot of return guests coming to play and join us. We've got John Macko from Fifth Angel. We've got Mark Bridie from Jagdpanzer. We got Justin Biggs from Sorcerer. And we got Doug Helvering all coming back in the next season of Heavy Metal Horror.
We Freaks is on Facebook.
Go visit.
Go visit it. Read it. Enjoy it.
So, what's up, Gadfly? Where are you hanging out?
I think he was hanging out in the vortex last night all by himself.
No.
You didn't make it either?
Yes! Trifecta.
Fat no. Fat zero. Three. Tar and Feather Unsafe Radio strikes out again.
Again.
You snooze, you lose.
Lose one. Lose another for the Gipper.